Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 56th episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, well, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast or on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you this important information so that you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We'll be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. Today we're going to talk a little bit about those New Year's resolutions. I looked up some resolution quotes, and there were several that I really liked. So we'll start out with one from Cyril Cusack. If you asked me for my New Year's resolution, it would be to find out who I am. Another one that I really like is from Cadet Robert. It says, character is the ability to carry out a good resolution long after the excitement of the moment has passed. And I think that's part of our challenge, the ability to carry out a good resolution long after the excitement of the moment has passed. So we're going to talk today about the cost or the unknown cost of broken resolutions. This is our Stress Buster Secret number 56. Now, most of the people I know, we choose New Year's Day to create resolutions that we would like to have and have in our lives so that we can have a better year this year than we had the last year. And most people have stored up some really good resolutions that they've been holding on to until the first of the year. Well, let's talk a little bit about the unknown cost of breaking your resolutions. And we all want to change. We all want to be better people, I think. Maybe not all of us, but most of us. I won't include everyone in that because there are some people who are really happy with who they are right now here today. And that's great. I really appreciate that. And in the present moment, I'm pretty happy with who I am right now. I also have this human desire to improve myself and to seek enlightenment and to know more consciousness. So that's a form of what creates some of my New Year's resolutions. And this year, I chose not to make any. I'll tell you a little bit of why that is, because you'll start to understand that unknown cost in a different way, I think. So I've talked to many people, a lot of my clients, and they want to change, and they want to change for the better, and they want us to sustain the change. They don't want to invest a lot of time, energy, and money in something that is simply not going to work down the line for them. But they have to try it out, or they have to figure things out. So a friend of mine said, I'm going to stop smoking at the first of the year. And I said, well, why did you choose that date? Well, it's the start of a new year. Well, did you realize that it's also after one of the more stressful times of your life, which is the holidays for some of us? And it's a good idea to start, but what if you had a little bit too much fun New Year's Eve? and you wake up not feeling especially well New Year's Day, but you've got to start those resolutions and you've got to get going with this, you can really start using broken resolutions as a weapon against yourself, or as a way to beat yourself up, or as a way to take yourself into shame. Those are some of the unknown costs that you might not be aware you're doing. Sometimes on a very subconscious level, you will set yourself up to create a resolution that isn't clear-cut, doesn't have a good outcome, doesn't have a plan supporting it, and in this way, you can really sabotage yourself and your self-esteem by making resolutions that won't work for you, and that you never planned out, and that by the fifth day of the year, it's too hard and you drop it and you say, see, I knew I was going to fail anyway. Those are huge costs to you energetically, mentally, and emotionally, and you may not be aware of them. So it's great to have a start date, but it's even better to prepare for that date. So I know that some people with diets, they might say, well, I know I'm going on the diet New Year's Day, so I'm going to eat as much as I want, as many calories as I want before the end of the year so that when I start my diet, I won't feel like I'm missing out on anything. Do you hear those keywords? I won't feel I'm missing out on anything. What that tells me is they've set a goal for themselves. That means they're going to miss out on something. And so they start their new year with a sense of deprivation and missing out on things. And going back to the example of my friend, the person who wanted to become an ex-smoker, I said, do you have a plan? No, but I've quit before. Again, listen to the keyword. I've quit before. Well, yeah, I quit doing a lot of things, and then the next day I resume doing them again. So having a successful failure is not necessarily the best plan or recipe for success. So if you really have a resolution that you'd like to have in this new year and be very successful with it, you need to have a well-thought-out plan that works for you. And that's another key, works for you. And the person who wanted to be an ex-smoker said, well, I know other people who have quit just using sheer willpower. Well, did you know that willpower alone is one of the worst things to use when making changes? One of the worst things to use when making changes. Because willpower is almost like a muscle. And if you haven't used it and toned it, and you try to use it to accomplish something, it gets very tired, and it gets very tired very quick. Also, when you wake up refreshed in the morning and your energy is flowing and, things are moving for you and all that kind of stuff, it's easy to think that by avoidance and using willpower alone, you'll make it through the day not smoking or not eating that restricted food or not. And the willpower that you have can slowly drain away in its strength and its resolution, New Year's resolution, and by the end of the day, you're finding out that you don't have a plan for what to do when you're tired, when you're exhausted, when you're cranky, when you've been using your willpower all day long and it's just not working anymore. And so you go get that piece of forbidden candy or you go smoke just that one cigarette. And then you find you're upset with yourself because it didn't work. Those are some of the really unknown costs of breaking resolutions, because now you're starting to create a history of failure instead of a history of success. And that history of failure will come up to bite you all the time, because you'll tell yourself, well, I've done this so many times before, I should be able to do it again. But what's really happening in the subconscious is it's going back to all the times that you quit and bringing them up for you so that now you feel like a smoker quitting failure instead of a smoker quitting success. And it's really subtle and it's really insidious, because when you say, I've managed to quit before, what you're saying is, I don't expect to be any more successful this time than I was any of my previous times, but I know I can make the effort and I can start the process of becoming a healthy eater, an ex-smoker, more toned, more fit, whatever your New Year's resolutions seem to be. Also, take a look at the quality of those New Year's resolutions. Some people think that they can improve their health simply by stopping smoking. And that's true. But if you haven't pictured yourself as an ex-smoker, you don't really know what ex-smokers do. You know what smokers do, but you don't know what ex-smokers do. So when I talked to this friend and I said, well, what do ex-smokers do? Well, I don't know. Well, if you're either going to be a non-smoker or an ex-smoker, what will you do instead of smoking? Well, I don't know. So what will your day look like if you're not smoking throughout the day? Well, I don't know. And I could sense the frustration with my questions getting higher and higher and higher. And I was just simply asking questions of what is going to make your resolution or your intention to cease smoking successful if you don't see yourself in that place. So we talked a little bit more, and I said, I've never smoked in my life, so I really can't work with you on that level. But what I can tell you is if I took a break, I would take a walk, not smoke a cigarette. And the smokers are the ones who get all the breaks, and I want to keep getting my breaks, so I'm going to keep smoking. They've already put themselves into the future smoking. That's really one of the unknown costs of your broken resolutions. Again, another cost. If you can't picture yourself as the person you would be with those changes sustained, and who you are and what you do as a result of those changes, you will default back to the most current and the most well-reinforced perspective of who you are. And this person's perspective of who they were was that they didn't get to take breaks unless they smoked, so they had to stay a smoker, even though they wanted to quit smoking January 1st. So that subtlety, that undermining of that resolution has already happened, even though they're not fully aware of that, because we have vision boards and we have all kinds of wonderful tools to help us keep our resolution. But it really comes down to understanding what fosters the habit, in other words, going to the cause of the habit, understanding why the habit continues, and what the benefits of having that habit are, understanding the cost, the energetic cost of changing a habit, and not ascribing the symptoms that you feel to not doing the behaviors that you were doing, but to understand that it's energetically expensive to change habits. So you might feel fatigued, you might feel out of sorts, you might feel irritable and cranky. But a lot of that is because you're spending a lot of energy changing a habit, shifting out of a habit, and coming into a new habit, and you're not really sure what that new habit is, especially if you don't have a plan. And we've talked in previous episodes. I just find this absolutely fascinating. I don't know why it's fun for me, but that default habit kind of sits in the background, similar to like a computer. When you do a complete reset, it reverts to its default programming. And then you have to go back in and you have to reset it for the different fonts that you want and the different colors and the different and all of that. You just have to go back and reset those default settings to get the behavior that you want out of your computer. So most of the world is set up for right-handed people, and I'm currently friends with a lefty, but all the light switches are on the right-hand side, and she's going, why can't they put the light switches on the left-hand side? And the doors open this way and this and this, and it's very interesting. But say that I decided to accommodate my friend the lefty, and I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to move the light switch from the right side of the door over to the left wall. I'll do that for you. And so I have someone come in and they rewire and all of that. And I come in and I know, because I spent a lot of time with it, I know the light switch is on the left wall. But how many times do I reach automatically for where the light switch used to be? And the placement of the light switch is irrelevant. It's not right on the right side. It's not wrong on the right side. It's not up on the left or right side. It's not down. It's not anything. It's just placed on the right side. But when I'm trying to establish a new habit of turning the light on from the left, it takes a while, and I have to think about it, and it takes longer to do it. But I'm not doing anything wrong, and the light switch isn't wrong for being in the new place. It just is simply being. I need to retrain my nervous system to come into the room and turn on the light on the left side rather than the right. So we'll get back into some more of those costs of broken resolutions when we come back from our commercial. And please remember that the Calm Moms free report no longer has the special bonus of the audio with it. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Thank you so much for staying with me as we work through the unknown cost of broken resolutions, Stress Buster Secret number 56. Wow. Okay. So it is January 14th. How many of your New Year's resolutions have you broken already? And we're basically 2 weeks into the year. So as you look at the cause of some of these habits, the cost of some of the habits, you will need to find out for you. There's a quote, and I'm probably going to mangle it, and I can't remember who said it, but sometimes change occurs when the pain of staying stuck is greater than the pain of the fear of change. So we've talked often about what stress is, and stress is an organism's response to any adaptive demand or change demand placed on it. So a lot of times we perceive changes as being way too stressful. And here we are coming into the new day of the year, the first day of the year, and with all of these well-intended, really wonderful resolutions. And maybe by the 14th of the month, we've broken a lot of them already. That really has a chain effect in your nervous system, in your subconscious, in your self-esteem. Because now you will remember the start of this year as another year of yet another failure. So what are some of the recommendations? What are you willing to do differently from previous years? And from some of those successes and failures. There are a lot of people who have successfully quit smoking and sustained the change. There are a lot of people who have successfully quit drinking. There are a lot of people who have successfully managed their weight differently to lower numbers and are sustaining those lower numbers. What will it take for you to sustain change that you intend, that you want to have? What will it take? And coming back to some of the unknown costs of those broken resolutions, when you tell yourself you're going to do this, and you really kind of psych yourself up for doing it, I think that's an old term, but you psych yourself up for doing it, and maybe even during the holidays, you cleaned out your cupboards if you were going to make some dietary changes. You cleaned out your refrigerator if you were going to make those dietary changes. You gave your stash of cigarettes and lighters away to friends. You don't have any ashtrays around anymore. And you think by elimination, you will successfully maintain and keep your changes. However, that's not necessarily true, because you haven't looked at the cause of some of those behaviors in the first place. One of the best ways to change behaviors is to ask yourself, what is it in me? Why am I a smoker? Is it so that I feel a part of a community of other smokers? Is it because I'm physically addicted to it? When you get a greater understanding of the behavior you have, you'll have more potential for successfully changing that behavior. When you see yourself in new behaviors, not doing the old behaviors that you wanted to change, you have a greater chance of successfully sustaining that change. So when you compromise your trust in yourself, it's a little like the erosion of the tide taking away a beach. It's like that subtle erosion, and the beach changes shape as a result of that tide washing up and eroding some of that sand away. When you set yourself up for an unrealistic resolution with no plan and no idea of what success would look like for you, you begin eroding your trust in yourself. You begin doubting your ability to do what you say you're going to do. And there are many quotes around, you know, a man is only as good as his word and those types of things. When you set a resolution, there are some criteria that you might want to look at as you're setting those resolutions so that you have a greater chance of success and you increase your trust in yourself rather than decrease your trust in yourself. So we started out the show by saying, character is the ability to carry out a good resolution long after the excitement of the moment has passed. I can't tell you how many times I've been either by myself or sitting with people and gotten real excited because I wanted to do this change. I could see it happening. I could understand it. It's something I really desired, which is a future-oriented energy, not a present-moment energy. And it's something that I knew would be good for me and be healthy and, I was going to do all these wonderful things. And as a result of sustaining that positive change, I would be able to make other positive changes. And I was getting so excited about it. And then the morning wakes up and it's a cold, snowy, icy, wintering morning. There's no way I'm going to haul myself out of bed and go for a 4-mile walk. It's not going to happen. I did not create a backup plan. I did not talk about what else I could do instead of a 4-mile walk outside in the winter. And I talked myself out of it saying, well, tomorrow's as good a day to start as any. And it really isn't, because if I don't have a plan in place and I don't really want to see myself walking anytime, anywhere, it's not going to happen. Your nervous system does what you ask it to do. And if asking it to take a 4-mile walk in the winter gets drowned out by all of the other subconscious messages of, well, it's too cold, you might slip and break a leg, you can't afford to miss work, you can't, it's too warm in the bed, I finally got some good sleep, and all of those other messages come up, your nervous system has been directed to take a 4-mile walk in the morning before showering, but it is drowned out by all of the other messages, the past history, the what I would call practicality and logic of, well, you really shouldn't walk in a snowy, icy day because you really might fall. And before I had my yak tracks and could put something on my shoes so that I was more stable, that was a very real concern. I don't know if it was true or not, but it was real. And even when I got my yak tracks and I put them on my boots and I got up and got ready to go, if it was too cold, too snowy, too windy, too this, too that, I was too tired. I was too warm. I was too set in my ways. I was too whatever. So as I learned a little bit more about keeping my word with myself and developing an even deeper sense of trust, I look at my plan and say, do I trust that I can do this? Is this something that will engage my willpower and it will create a new habit? Is it something that I'm ready to do? Is it something that I see myself doing? How many benefits will this have for me so that I get past the fear of making this change? What are some of the benefits?